Well, hello, hello, hello. This is Ian's Place. My name is Ian, and this is my place. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. We've got some talking to do tonight, but I always like and love callers to call in. That's my favorite part. So, if you have anything that you would like to discuss, the U.S. and Canada toll-free number is 1-888-228-4494. The world toll-free is 1-877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. Excuse me, I gotta take a drink of water before we get started here. So I hope you all had a peaceful weekend. I know you're practicing being peaceful out there. But tonight's topic is about making declarations. And have you ever made a declaration that I'm going to do it or I can do that? Not a problem. And then your stomach feels like your gut's going, you just made that declaration and you think we can do this? What happens if your declaration that you've told the world about doesn't happen? Have I made a fool of myself? And why am I getting this sinking feeling in my stomach? What do we do if we fail? Those are good questions. Because society really sets us up for failure, haven't you? Oh, you're just a dreamer. Oh, you can't do that. And they tease you. So you just might not make it. You might not make your declared manifestation that you so boldly put out there. So what? So what if you didn't make it? The world's not coming to an end. But what did you do? What did you accomplish by making that declaration? By making that declaration. Congratulations. You just started your journey of mustering up courage. Courage takes courage in getting your life headed in the direction you want to go. That direction that you've always wanted to live by. And so the journey begins of getting you back to you. So how do you start getting back to you? By making declarations. Do they have to be made public? No. But by making them public, you have just been courageous. Making public declarations is a courage builder. The heat is on. And then this is a great discipline for two reasons. First, it gives you a spoken path. You know, remember we do think, speak, and act towards your manifestation? You think, speak, and act towards your manifestation. So now when you made that declaration verbally, you've gone past the speaking part. And two, it gives you practice, if you will, of how you're going to react if you're declaration. Let's see how I'm going to say this. It gives you practice of how you're going to react if your declared manifestation doesn't show up. How are you going to react? You really need practice here. You practice. I mean, think about it. Your first manifestation doesn't show up and you feel bad. Your second public, talking out to people and making a declaration. The second one doesn't show up and you feel worse. The third one doesn't show up and you're just getting this gut-wrenching feeling. And so that's, you get this practice of manifestations not showing up. And in that practice, you get to react differently. You get to start choosing your reactions. So you can react mortified, or you can let it roll off your shoulder. And where you're going to get is to allow it to roll off your shoulder. Now, I know you've been out there listening to me every week saying you can create your sandbox any way you want. I've been drumming that into your ear for the last couple of months. Your sandbox, your creation, your decorations. And that is a true statement. I don't go beyond that. Your sandbox, you get to decorate it any way you want. But right now, many of us are fledglings. We're those little birds that are just starting to grow their feathers, and we start flapping our wings. We're learning. And sometimes we flap our wings so much, kind of, you know, fall out of the tree. And that's okay. It's a learning. We climb back up, or mom picks us up, or whatever, but we get back into the saddle, if you will. But right now, in today's society, when we make public declarations and they don't manifest, we are so scared that we're going to make fools of ourselves, that fellow human beings are going to laugh at us and you know, laugh at us and poke fun at us. Isn't it a sad truth that they probably will? Isn't it sad that instead of making fun of those who are brave enough to make a declaration ahead of time, that they would encourage someone's courage and say, go for it. And whatever happens, happens. And that life won't end if the manifestation doesn't show up. That would be a great, great world to live in. But this part of learning how to manifest is essential because it gets you over what other people think. After a while, you just get thick-skinned. Because that is what stops most people from going forward in their life. Dreams, hopes, aspirations. What stops most people from going for the dream is what other people think. Isn't that true? And how sad is that? Let's think about this for a moment. How many people have put their dreams aside on hold because of how other people may think about them? If they dared to do something out of the ordinary, if they dared to act outside of social consciousness, way of being, we don't know how many Gandhis have gone by the wayside. We don't know how many JFKs have gone by the wayside or Bobby Kennedys, because somebody else's opinion, somebody else's thought process that is equal, we're all equal in thinking, they took their truth on, and so they stopped their life's dream because somebody else didn't think it was right. Go figure. So I can hear those phone ringing out there. I'm going to give you the numbers one more time. 1-888-228-4494. And the world is 1-877-489-6350. And a direct line is 530-776-5154. So, there's this person who has dared to act outside of social consciousness. But once we take baby steps of getting over what others may think, when we have the courage to start taking one step in front of the next step, one step in front of the next step, the world is ours. We then have freed ourselves to make moves that we've always dreamed of. And in that freedom, we manifest and manifest and manifest some more. There's nothing to stop us but ourselves, because we have overcome being afraid of what others may think. And when we overcome that fear, then the journey becomes within. We now are on a journey of becoming powerful. We're on a journey of becoming powerful gods that we are. We start thinking, speaking, and acting like the power that we are, where no thing is impossible. We cannot become powerful until we are powerful. We have to be it. We have to act like it. We have to speak like it. The it, the God within us. That it is hiding in the closet, waiting for you to open the door so it can start its journey, and you can start the journey of allowing that power to strut its stuff, and it can strut. But once you open that door, number one, you're going to like it. And number two, it's just about impossible to put it back into the closet. It's not impossible because if you remember, all things are possible. You can put it back in the closet. It will never override your thinking. But now that the journey has become a journey of within, so you can learn how to use this power that is laying latent within you. It's laying latent within 99.99% of the populace of the world. It's there. All you have to do is recognize that it's there and open the door and say, come play with me. Can you teach me how to manifest? Can you teach me how to be unlimited? Can you teach me how to walk on water and help heal the sick and raise the dead? And it will say, sure. I've been waiting. I've just been waiting for you to open that door. All things are possible. Let's go start playing. And once that happens, once you get that you've opened the door, and that all things are possible, and there's nothing to be afraid of, especially other people's opinions. Once you get that, you start walking lighter. You take bigger strides. The smile on your face never leaves. And the warmth in your heart reaches those who are cold. And they don't even know how, and they don't even know how they felt a little warmer for a moment in time. They just know they felt something warm. They recognize it. They'll look around. And there's something different. The energy in the room is different. Haven't you ever walked into a room and there's one person, I mean, you could have 50 people in the room, and your eyes will lock on one person, and they own the room. And they don't have to tell people that they own the room. They probably don't even know they own the room because that's not where they come from. But all the energy in that room ebb and flows from that one person. Why? Because they're centered. Centered entities have energy that just flows from them. It goes all around them and it affects other people. Case in point, I am sure that you have passed people in your travels and you just lock on somebody. You don't know why you're locking on them, but you'll watch them walk and you just get a warm feeling. That's who I'm talking about. Their energy touches you because they're centered. And we gravitate to centered people. We gravitate to the Wayne Dyers. We gravitate to Deepak Chopra. We gravitate to Gandhi. Why? Why do we gravitate to those people? If they never said a word, you would gravitate to them. If they just sat on the lawn in a park, I guarantee you they'd have 50 people around them just sitting there, not saying a word, because their energy commands it. Not demands, commands. That's what happens. People just want to be around people with centered energy. They already know who they are. They're not conceited. They don't think they're the it. They don't have to. They just who they are. They have learned not to be afraid. They have learned how powerful they are. They have learned the energy of spirit, if you will, God, if you will, Allah, if you will, Buddha. It's all the same. There's just one source. That's why we say anyone, someone, another one. There isn't some two, any two. It's just one. We use that word one in many of our speech because there's just one source. And we're it. Each and every one of us is that one source. So anyway, once you get this hint of not being afraid anymore, not having to worry about what other people say, it's just an opinion. Let them, it flows off your back. Anybody's opinion just hits a shield in front of you and just bounces right back to them. Anyway, you start walking lighter and you take bigger strides. The smile on your face never leaves. The warmth in your heart reaches those who are cold, and they don't even know how. They felt a little warmer for a moment in time. I repeated that because I think that is so precise on what happens to people when they stop being afraid. So declaring your manifestations publicly can be part of your getting over fear and doubt. Getting over the fear of what others may think. Getting over doubting yourself. Because what is going to happen is that many of your manifestations are going to start materializing. Remember, thought matters. Thoughts turn into matter, mass. Whatever you think happens. But most people mix their thoughts with fear and doubt. And because we mix our thoughts with your I want to thoughts, let me try that one again. Because people who mix their fear and doubt thoughts with I want to thoughts, with fear and doubt thoughts, it lessens the probability of coagulating your wants into mass, the way you really want to see your physical reality. It's because fear and doubt are also thoughts. They also manifest. So along the way, you're going to learn how to keep fear and doubt thoughts out of your thinking, speaking, and acting towards. So along the way, you will learn how to keep fear and doubt thoughts out of your thinking, speaking, and acting towards manifestation process. Again, this is a process of learning, a process of monitoring your thoughts, a process of picking which thoughts you're going to put emotion. Emotion is the driver to manifestation. When you emotionally put emotion, when you emotionally put emotion behind a thought process that gets it out there, it helps the coagulation event, if you will. The emotion drives matter into coagulated physical reality. So again, once you learn how not to take on another one's truth, once you get that it is your choice not to listen to another one, but listen to yourself, then it gives you freedom. Listen to the word, freedom. One of the definitions is, of freedom, one of the definitions is exemption from external control, interference, and regulation. And that's what we do to each other. We all go around externally controlling or trying to control someone else. We interfere with their manifestations. We try to regulate everybody. Instead of just taking care of ourselves, we go around trying to run other people's sandbox. Go figure on that one. Just take care of your own sandbox. You can come home to your own sandbox and you can decorate it any way you want. But guess what? That goes for the other guy, too. They get to decorate their sandbox any way they want. You don't want people in your sandbox telling you what to do, telling you how to believe, telling you how to speak. Why doesn't anybody else have that right? They do. And that's where we get in trouble with each other, because we want to control other people. So we didn't make up words so we can just give lip service to their definitions. They were created so that when we choose, we can act towards their definition. Like freedom, we can act towards being unregulated. We can act towards not being interfered with. And we can act towards from external control, because, you know, we teach people how to treat us. We teach people how to treat us. Does it take some while? Yeah. But you got to start somewhere. And then you can explain to them when they try to start controlling your life, excuse me, sorry, Let me just tell you this. I'm thinking this way, and I'm not budging. I'm thinking I'm going to speak this way. I'm going to believe this way. I'm going to do that way. This is my life. God didn't give it to you. This is my life. And I am now taking control of my life. You go can take control of your life, and hopefully we can stay friends. But this is my life. God gave it to me to do with as I will freely. It's called free will. He didn't give my life to you, or to you, or to you, or to you. He gave it to me with a thinking process of learning. He gave me the ability to learn. He gave me the ability to manifest my way. And I'm going to use it. I'm finally going to take hold of my life and use it for me. Because I have this thing within me that is more powerful than you. Or you, or you. I am learning how to use it. I have connected with it. And now we're going to go on a journey to become one. I'm going to become one within me. I'm going to learn how powerful I am. I'm going to learn how to manifest my life my way. And there's no room for you, unfortunately, or fortunately, because you have your life to live. So you can learn how powerful you are. It has nothing to do with me. Sometimes some people might take that pretty harsh, but it's a truth. And once you learn the freedom, that gives you the freedom to love even more. You can love greater. Love doesn't have any control mechanisms. Love doesn't have any pain attached to it. Love is an absolute way, or loving is an absolute way of being. Just like the God within you loves you unconditionally, allows you to make the errors, allow you to, it's not even an error. It's a way of being. What do you want to be? You want to be a robber? Go for it. Do you want to steal cars? Go for it. I'm here. Once you want to change your way of being, let's talk. Because you are powerful enough not to be a robber, and you can still live with abundance. You don't have to steal from somebody else to live abundantly. But hey, while you're at it, go for it. When you get tired, let's talk. And that is unconditional love. There is not one condition set with unconditional love. So when we choose to stop listening to others, when we choose to become free, then there's no stopping the flow of manifestation. It's endless. And once you get through one experience, you're going to find another. And once you get through that one, you're going to find another, and another, and another. Some experiences aren't all that fun. But you're going to get through it. Why? Because everything is temporary. And when you get through an experience that probably wasn't the funnest experience to go through, when it's over, that experience, you're just going to look back and go, whoa, I learned a lot from that experience. I didn't really care going through it, but man, I've gained a lot of wisdom. There's many people that have had atrocities happen to them. They've had limbs cut off, they've got a disease, they've become blind or something horrific. And when they get through it, they will tell you it was the best experience they've ever gone through. It was the best thing that ever happened to them. And I know you've heard people tell their stories. And it was the best thing. So when we choose to become free, there's no stopping us. far, social consciousness dictates. Let me take a drink of water here, gang. I'm sorry. My mouth is becoming dry. But so far, social consciousness dictates how we should create our sandboxes, how we should act in any given situation, how we should speak, how we should believe in God. Most of social consciousness tells us how God will love us unconditionally by following numerous conditions, don't they? Religions around the world tell us that God loves us unconditionally if you just follow these dozens or so rules. Then God loves us unconditionally. Well, doesn't it stand to reason? If God just set one teeny, tiny, little condition, that would stop unconditional love in its tracks? Doesn't that make sense? It does to me. I don't know about you, but it does to me. So, I'm going to give out my phone number again. Just go ahead and pick up that phone and call in. The U.S. and Canada is 1-888-228-4494. The world, toll-free, is 1-877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. So anyway, we choose our destinations. We alone make the decision of how our sandbox will look like. No one else. No one gets to do it. No one can reach into your brain and turn the dial and say, okay, you're supposed to act this way, you're supposed to say this, you're supposed to do that. Nobody can turn that dial inside of our brain. We are the only one, each of us, who can turn that dial. That's the bottom line here. So we choose our destination. We do it already. Every day we choose our destination. We choose to take the kids to school. We choose to go to work. We choose to have dinner at 6 o'clock. We choose to go to the movies on Friday. We choose, we choose, we choose, we choose. That's all we do is choose. So if you're in that job that you hate, why are you choosing to be there? Since we're unlimited, and we know we are, the doors can't open because you are choosing, other doors can't open because you are choosing to be there. You are choosing to stay in a job that you hate because you have to. Therefore, the circumstances will show up in your life that dictates you are 100% right. And your physical reality will reflect back to you, yes, you have to stay in this job that you hate. Because you will see in your physical reality, you will see on your movie screen situations in front of you that will say and prove that you are right. Some emergency will come up, and you will say to yourself, God, I'm so glad I've stuck this hateful job, because if I wasn't in this job that I didn't hate, I would have not been able to handle this situation that's just come into my reality. Don't you know you created that? Your physical reality, what you see in front of you, will always reflect and create circumstances so you will be 100% correct. Haven't you ever wondered why some people consistently have bad stuff in their life? They consistently have things that happen to them that don't happen in maybe your life because you're unlimited and you know how to tweak this. But somebody else who doesn't know how to do it, that complain constantly. They're bringing those complaints forward into their physical reality because what you think, speak, and act about will show up. So what you're bringing that stuff to your life because you can't stop talking, thinking, and speaking about it and acting towards the job that you hate. You're creating it. And what you can create, you can uncreate. Stop. Stop complaining. Because your complaint's going to show up in your future daily, and it does. Let's think about this one. You need things to complain about because that's who you are. You're complainers. So your physical reality is going to give you things to complain about. People who are successful and are life is great and da-da-da-da-da-da don't go through these everyday complaints. That doesn't show up in their physical reality. Why? Because they know life is great. So what happens to their physical reality? Circumstances show up in their physical reality that when they look through their eyes, they see the reflection of their brain thinking and their speaking, and things are great in their life. And it pisses the people off who complain all the time and everything goes bad. They really don't like, it nauseates them to be around somebody who's determining their life with wonderful and great things. They just can't handle it. They barf. Because they can't be it yet. And all it would take is one step towards thinking a different way, changing your mind, because that is the God-given right within you to change your mind, change your circumstances by changing your thinking, changing your speaking, and changing your acting towards. There's this power within you that will help you get out of that dead-end job that you hate. Open the door. Introduce yourself. Take it out for a spin. And what does that take to do that? It takes the courage of stepping outside of social consciousness. We choose individually. Listen to the word. Individually, not as a collective, individually, changing the way I view, changing the way you view the world. Your view, you create it, change it. You know, if you have to like start watching cartoons that aren't violent, If you listen to comics so you can laugh a lot, if you watch warm, fuzzy movies, this starts changing your attitude. It starts developing a lighter attitude because when you laugh, you're lighter. I mean, you can be really mad and angry and you sit down and watch a warm, fuzzy movie and what you've just viewed changed your attitude, didn't it? And guess who changed the attitude? You did. It wasn't the movie. You may have watched a warm, fuzzy movie, and you could have stayed totally angry through the whole thing. But what usually happens is when we watch a warm, fuzzy movie, our attitude changes. Who changed it? It wasn't the movie. It was you. You made a choice. You made a choice to calm down and feel warm and loving. It's kind of tough to go watch a really cool movie that is peaceful and entertaining and then stay angry through the whole thing. But it's not the movie, it's your view of the movie that you have decided, you have chosen to calm down. You have chosen not to be angry anymore. You choose. Your choice. It's always our choice, every moment of the day. You can be angry one moment and happy the next. Whose choice was that? Yours. Because you could look at something in front of you that made you laugh, or that is funny, and you can either stay angry, or you can choose to laugh with it. And it was your choice to laugh with it or to stay angry. And so it's always our choice at every moment. If you can get that, that you choose, no matter what you see in front of you, it's your choice to dictate which emotion that you're going to use at any given moment. You have 50 to choose from. Sad, funny, laugh, cry, ecstatic. Which one? You know, here you go. Write down on a piece of paper all these emotions. Write them down. And you don't even have to put them in separate columns. Just write them down. Like laugh, funny, anger, ecstatic, peaceful. Just make a list, and you could probably get, I would think, about 40 of these adjectives, and then start checking off the ones that you want to experience. Which one are you going to choose to be? Okay, let me give out the phone numbers again. Maybe one of you will choose to call in. The U.S. and Canada is 1-888-228-4494. World is 1-877-489-6350. And our direct line is 530-776-5154. So, to continue on this one, let me see what else I want to tell you. Last week, I know what I wanted to tell you. Last week, Pat called in, and she asked a question, and I don't think I answered it totally. And I thought about it this whole week, and I'm going, I'm going to get into that. And now I forgot what the conversation was. That's what happens when you get old. But we were talking about, I know. We were talking about judgments. And she made she told about how she read Hillary's biography, and she said that Hillary wrote in the book that her dad always used to say to her, "I love you. I will always love you unconditionally. I just don't like the things that you do sometimes." And I believe Pat was asking if God loves that way. And I told her the answer was no, that God loves unconditionally. And that God, just like I just said, doesn't set any conditions. Conditions are human. Conditions were set by the controllers. It goes way back. That people who want to control mass of people set conditions. And then they become the politicians, the rulers, and the masses. There's only a few rulers, you know, the controllers, politicians, or kings, or monarch, or Congress. There's only a few of them. And then the masses go on their life, you know, when they're just doing what they do. But all of a sudden, the rulers are seeing the masses do something of freedom. It's pretty cool. They might want, you know, to get together for a large gathering. And that threatens the rulers, and they go make a new rule. That's why they're called rulers. Oh, we don't like what you're doing. We're going to go make a new rule, so you can't do that anymore. And so the masses stop doing that, and they go play, and they start doing other things. And if the rulers don't like what the masses are doing, they go make another rule. That's what they get to do. And so they just say, we don't like what you're doing. It's something new. We don't like it. So we're going to go make another rule. So rules are made by rulers, controllers, kings, and they rule the masses by making rules. And if you don't follow the rules, even though you don't agree with the rule, but they make them, and if you don't follow them, then they punish you, i.e. a fine or throwing you in jail or whatever. So rules are made by man. And the statement, I love you unconditionally, but I don't like what you do, comes from a ruler. So you won't do what they don't like. You may like it, but it doesn't matter to them. They don't like you to do it. And so they go make up rules. Wouldn't it be nice if we all could get along together and just respect each other? There wouldn't be any rules, because we all know what to do. It's called common sense. You know, we can, like, forgive each other just about anything. You know, our best friend can knock us on the ground and we get up rubbing our chin going, God, you must have had a really bad day. Common sense tells us not to do that. But we forgive each other. We forgive our best friend for knocking us on the ground. Because, I've lost my thought here, hold the line. Anyway, the point I'm trying to get to is we can hardly forgive anybody for not using common sense. When you don't use it, what happens? Somebody's going to yell at you. Where's your common sense? It irritates people. They just get really ticked about it if we don't use our common sense. So obviously, there are rules out there for common sense, and it's innate within each of us because we expect it to be innate with each of us. We've never been gone to common sense school. There's nothing around. There's nothing written in text that I know of that says these are the common rules. So obviously, it's innate within each of us. We are born with it. And we know that each other is born with this innateness of common sense. Or else we wouldn't be yelling at each other. Where is your common sense? So I'm thinking that if we all lived by common sense, this would be a very cool world. That we would get along with each other, we would respect each other, we would love each other, it would just be like a big picnic where everybody got along. If we all just tuned in to our common sense. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't it make sense that we're always yelling at each other for not using their common sense? And so it has to be innate. I thought that was I talked to somebody about that a while back, and it just made sense. So, we've got about 7 minutes. I didn't prepare for the whole hour. I thought somebody was going to call in. So, we could talk about listening to yourself. And I've talked about this, I think, on the first time, about how we don't listen to ourselves. And every time we don't listen to ourselves, we go, "Drat! I wish I would have listened to myself." And what does it take for us to start listening? We become conscious of what's going on in our head. When we think of something that's going, do, 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 and we're going, no. And we do something else, and it turns out that the do, 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 do was correct. Then we go, "Drats, I wish I would have listened to myself." We have to be conscious of what the do, 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 do is saying to us. And then maybe go along with it for a while. But what happens is every time you go along with, you should do this, do this. And you do it, and you're going, "God, I was so glad I listened to myself." So when you make a decision, a conscious decision of following the do this or going against the do this, when we start being conscious of that, there's only two responses. Dang, I wish I would have listened to myself. One. Or two, God, I'm so glad I listened to myself. Those are the only two that you're going to come up with. You're not going to have a middle of the line. You're not going to say, well, I really didn't, well, kind of, sort of, not really. Yeah, there's only two outcomes. You love that you listened to yourself, or you kind of like ticked that you didn't listen to yourself. So to become conscious is to start listening and then think through it. Okay, I'm hearing this voice saying this is the way it should be done. Am I going to agree with it? Am I going to follow it? I've just opened the door to this thing. I've opened the door to something I can't see or speak to or touch. You actually do speak to them. I mean, I hear it. But you can't touch it. You can't see it. And you're asking me to turn my life over to it? My answer would be yes. Of course. It's very powerful. It's like Superman invisible. It's like the Hulk being invisible. It's like leprechauns being invisible. It's all of those things wrapped into one and more. Yes. By all means, turn your life over to it. Some people call it God. Some people call it Allah. Some people call it the Spirit. But all of those people who are centered have found it. Everybody who has found it, has figured it out, has turned their life over like they tell you to do over and over again, to get out of your way. Deepak has found it. Wayne Dyer has found it. Sylvia Brown has found it. John, what's his name, that talks to the dead, have found it. They've all found it. They know how to use it. Wouldn't you like to live like them? They seem to be pretty abundant. They seem to be centered and at peace. So what's the difference between you and them? They've turned their life over to it. They opened the door and sat back. They opened the door and said, let's play. Let me take you out. Will you show me how to use you? They did that. And they're telling you that they did that. And they're telling you that if you did what they did, you could be happy and peaceful and not have to worry about things, quit that dead-end job. And you would actually stop complaining. But then the question is, what would you talk about if you didn't have anything to complain about? Now, there's the question. Oprah came up with this really great thing about the rubber band, that minister that came out with the wristbands, and every time you complained, you had to change the wristband to the other wrist. And if you complained, then you put it back on the other wrist. So every time you complained, you changed wrists. You took the band off and put it back on the other wrist. What a great idea, because you would find out how much we complain. And when you complain, you bring that energy back into your future. It doesn't go into your past, it goes into your future. So if you want to keep living like you've been living, talk about it, complain about it, think about it, and put it into your future. That's all you got to do if you want to keep on doing what you're doing. If you're happy, and you are, people who complain a lot and are miserable and have a lot of nitpicky stuff happen to them, they are happy. Why? Because they feel good. We only do the things that make us feel good. So I guess I've just been told that my time is up. So until next week, peace be to you. And the way to peace is think about it. That's all you got to do. Peaceful thoughts. And your physical reality will reflect that back to you. So, until next week, thanks for checking in, and we'll see you then. Have a great week. Talk.